Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Mark Howard, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Pleased to welcome in our good friend Darren McFarlane, host of Darren Dodick and Chase, who took in a little NASCAR action this weekend at the Nashville Super Speedway. Darren, what's going on, my friend? How are we doing?
Robbie, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful.
It finally took X amount of years. I'm not going to give you the number. But, yeah, I figured out over years when it's sunny and it's hot outside that, you know, it's a good idea to put sunscreen on. And so I've been really bad at that over the years, really bad. I'm Irish. I don't tan. I just turned into a fire hydrant. And I figured, you know what, yesterday I'm going to be out of the sun. So I decided to lather up with some sunscreen and go out and enjoy some racing. But it was good in all seriousness. It was fun to see racing back at the Nashville Super Speedway after a decade. It was nice to see the Cup cars back in this market for the first time in 37 years. I wasn't living here. I've been here a long time. I've been here close to 25 years, but NASCAR Cup was not here, so I even missed that. But 37 years since it's been in this market, and what a great turnout. It looked fantastic. I watched a lot of the coverage. I didn't go. We were out there Friday doing the show, but I didn't go to the races Friday night and Saturday afternoon, but I did watch a lot of the coverage. They absolutely are thrilled to be in Nashville. The coverage looked, it sounded awesome. I listened to our coverage that we were carrying. So overall, I have to believe. I know there was a lot of people that complained about the traffic. I get it. I know that's going to happen. They're going to have to figure that out again because I heard people set in traffic for hours to get there, to leave, but it's kind of what you expect when you go to big events like that. I know they'll have to figure that part out, but overall, I think it was a really, really good weekend for Nashville.
So, Darren, we were batting this around earlier in the show between Mark and I about NASCAR, and you kind of laid it out beautifully there. It's been 37 years since it's been here in Nashville for the Cup Series, and you know, part of what NASCAR has been trying to do over the last decade plus has been connect with a younger audience and trying to get a younger audience more involved. How big of a deal for younger people who live here in Nashville who maybe this was their first time really being exposed to NASCAR, how big a deal do you think this weekend was and could be in terms of NASCAR kind of building on that fan base here in the Nashville area?
Well, I think they're taking baby steps, Robbie. I don't think they're obviously there, but it is encouraging. I do know people, younger people like yourself, Robbie, young and spry and full of energy.
That's right.
Young whippersnappers who were at the race, and it was the first time they were at a race, first time checking it out. I know that Eric Moses will tell you that they want to not only be younger, but they want to be more diverse. And I think they're working on that as well. They've got a ways to go on both fronts, but I do think NASCAR has got just a different mindset, a different mentality than it's had in past decades. And they realize that they're going to have to do that for this sport to continue to grow because it was a rocket ship many, many decades ago. When you think about 25 years ago, it was a rocket ship. You know, 20 years ago, it was absolutely booming. And then it hit its ceiling, and then it's gone the wrong direction for a good, good while. And they experimented. They tried this market and that market, and it all basically failed. And now they're back to grassroots, which is Nashville. And now they need to get a new generation of race fans, and they need to be more diverse. And Bernard Pollard waving the flag, you know, out there. I saw Alvin Kamara. I mean, I'm sitting there. I go into the media center, and then I'm out there, and I'm, like, looking, and I'm like, was that Alvin Kamara? I'm like, nah. And I'm looking, and I'm just thinking to myself, I think that was Alvin Kamara. And then I realized it was Alvin Kamara without Butch Jones.
There you go.
And, you know, he did have the ball, so I knew Butch Jones wasn't there. But, yeah, it was Alvin Kamara, who's obviously become, through all of this, a big race fan. Bernard Pollard has become a big race fan. And I know Eric Moses, like I said, he wants the sport. They realize the sport knows they need to be more diverse. They need to spread their wings out and reach everybody because it has been stereotyped over the years, rightfully so. And so hopefully they're well on their way to changing that because, honestly, the sport needs that if it's going to continue to grow because once all those hardcore fans, when they were a rocket ship, go away, you better have the next layer ready or your sport's in big trouble.
Darren, what about just the storyline that Speedway 2 years ago was pretty much shuttered? And, you know, for so long, Nashville chased a cup race and kept, you know, hearing no. And then all of a sudden, you know, like you said, you know, bad attendance around the country, you know, dwindling TV ratings. And all of a sudden, they come back to Nashville hat in hand.
You know the story, Mark. You lived it. You've been in this market the entire time, and they played it wrong. I mean, they promised a cup race. They built the track with the intentions of having a cup race, and everybody was excited the first go-around, and everybody came out the first go-around, and they had trucks, and they had, I guess at the time, what was it, the Busch Series. It wasn't the Xfinity Series. Same type of racing, just a different name, and they got the open wheel, and everybody was excited, and it was like, when is Cup going to happen? And once people figured out that Cup wasn't coming here, and as you said, the sport was kind of starting to go the wrong direction as well. It was lights out for this market. It had no chance. And good thing is they knew coming here and trying to do that same thing again was never going to work. It was either going to be Cup or bust. And so at least they know that this market knows that there is a Cup race here. Now it's just a matter of, one, can they keep it at the Nashville Super Speedway long term? Two, can there actually be two cup races in this market, which certainly is the big scuttlebutt at the fairgrounds? That's kind of where Nashville is, because we all know everybody wants to come here. I mean, that's not a big deal to everybody say, yeah, we want to be in your market. Yeah, everybody says, yeah, we want to be in Nashville, but can we do the things that need to be done to actually have two races? By the way, that would be a first on the circuit. Two cup races with two different ownership groups in the same market if it plays out. And I think it will, and that indeed happens. But, Mark, as you know, everything has challenges. It's like the Titans when they first got here. Yesterday looked great. I just painted the picture on radio. This weekend looked fantastic. Yesterday looked fantastic. Was it a sellout? Yes. Will next year be a sellout? Yes. But when at some point you have to keep working. You have to keep, you know, get your tentacles out there and communicating, building relationships, because one day it's not going to sell out. And what do you have then? Because, and the reason I bring that up is because, you know, the Titans went through that. They got here and it was the easiest sellout in the world. They said the window was open, and 32 minutes later they shut the windows closed. Season is sold out. But what happened whenever that stopped happening? They had not done anything. They hadn't lifted a finger to build any tentacles in this community. And the Nashville Super Speedway is going to have to do that. It looked great yesterday, but they better start building relationships whenever it's not the easy sellout, so they can then lean on those relationships to keep this thing going.
Darren, the other thing that you know is one of the biggest criticisms of that concrete surface was that it was a single groove, that you were going to be, you know, a single file, follow the leader racing, which is typically pretty boring. But the big surprise yesterday was you saw them going three wide. I think that some of that is attributed to the change in technology with the cup cars. But whatever the case, that was a very pleasant surprise, because it made, as one-sided as the race was, it did make for more entertaining racing.
There's no doubt about it. And Kyle Larson did not help. Wrong Kyle. Did not help that, even though you're right. There was much more exciting racing. Yes, at times, three wide. It was surprising for me to even see that, being in person. Like, wow, we just were not used to seeing that ever happen. It never happened in the previous times when they were in Nashville. But unfortunately, Kyle Larson, he is so good right now. He dominated the race. But hopefully they can continue. As you said, it's a mile and a third. It's a concrete surface. It's, you know, you're straight oval, not high banking. And so in the past, it is not proven to be to put out exciting racing. Kyle Larson made it look easy yesterday, but hopefully they can continue to tinker with it and do things here and there where this thing can become an exciting track, because that is another thing that they don't want, that this is kind of a boring track. You get out in clean air, and away you go, and nobody's going to catch you, which is what it felt like at times with Larson. I just think it's more of a byproduct of that's where he is right now. He is dominating the sport. he is that Hendrick Motorsports. I mean, obviously Hendrick's is having so much success, but Kyle Larson just what did he lead? I don't know. It was like 250 of 300 laps, something silly yesterday. But they'll have to continue to work on it. But you're right; it did have its times when they were doing things we've never seen before, and I know they worked hard to get that to happen. They'll have to continue to work hard to make it exciting racing moving forward.
Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donick and Chase, on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Darren, took extra innings, but Vanderbilt gets it done on Saturday night, 7-6 against Arizona. Not the greatest start from Kumar Rocker. Didn't get a whole lot of help defensively in the first inning. What stood out to you with Vanderbilt's performance on Saturday night?
Arizona played at 3 in the first.
Yep.
I was like, okay, all right. This was the top offense in the country. And, yeah, Rocker is human. Now we'll find out if Leiter is human when they play on Wednesday. So, yeah, no, it was exciting. I made it. The wife, we watched every pitch. Maddox didn't make it. He didn't make it. He just.
Oh, Maddox.
I know. And he tried to pretend the next day that he did, and he knew who won. I was like, dude, you were snoring right next to us. Like, we've got pictures, and we didn't. But he's like, really? I was like, yeah, we took pictures. Like, you were asleep. It was an exciting game. I couldn't believe. How about this? By the way, I think this College World Series, I have been glued in. The pitching performance last night by Mississippi State,
yep.
I got home from the race. I watched that till the end. Wow. I think it's been off and running, but that was the first extra inning game since 2014. Like, how is that possible?
It's pretty incredible.
I was really shocked by that. Like, 7 years since they've had an extra inning game in Omaha. But, you know, look, they put up the key stat. It's no secret. And now that's what Tennessee's going to have to deal with, and they're going to have to hear, what is it, 5 national champs in the last basically 4 decades have come out of the loser's bracket. You know, I understand. Some people will be like, well, you know, stats are meant to be broken, and yes, it's happened 5 times. But basically you better win that first game, and you better not be trying to fight your way out of the loser's bracket, which is what Tony Vitello and the Vols are facing. And that's what now Arizona faces. And the loser of that game, you know, was going to have to face that. And Vanderbilt was dangerously close to losing that game. But what a performance to get back in it. They had so many opportunities there in extra innings. I mean, they get the pinch runner. And, I mean, everybody was wondering, what the heck are you doing? You know, we had opportunities to advance the runner, and they didn't advance the runner. And they had opportunities to win it. But Arizona just stayed in it, and then finally they come through with the big bases-loaded single in the 12th, and away they go. I'll tell you what, this NC State team, you better watch out. I watched their series against Arkansas. It was impressive. When you get beat down 21-2 and you're in Fayetteville and you come back and you basically shut down Arkansas's bats, which is what NC State did, and they did the same thing to Stanford, they're going to be a tough out. They're full of confidence. And so it's going to be a lot of fun moving forward. But so far, I've really, really enjoyed the College World Series, and I know there's a lot more to come.
Darren, we're halfway home in the Stanley Cup semifinals for a Barry Trotz versus Shea Weber Stanley Cup final. I'm here for it.
I'm all for it. I'll tell you what, man, I thought Montreal was going to pull that out last night. Gosh, I thought they were. But I think both series are dangerously close to heading right to 7.
Oh,
it feels that way, like both series. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I've enjoyed that as well. It stinks whenever the Predators are out, but, man, I am certainly rooting for Barry Trotz. I'm certainly rooting for Captain Shea Weber. I did get a kick out of your tweet last night during the game because I thought the same thing. Like, what are they doing? Like, that dude, that's the wrong bear to poke.
That's the wrong guy you want to start boarding into the wall, I can tell you
that. If you
want
to poke a bear, you might want to find another bear, like maybe a cub.
Yes.
Not Mama Bear. Mama Bear is going to take your head off. That is,
I saw Tommy Nosek's life flash before my eyes, and I'm not even him. Just leave Shea Weber alone.
Meanwhile, Darren, if Montreal does make it, I'll guarantee you Maddox will fall asleep again watching the way they play.
That is a pretty good line. Yeah, it's not the most exciting style.
Good grief.
Yeah.
Just shutting it down, baby. Darren McFarland. Well,
what was it, midway through the second period, the shot totals were like 12-8 something?
Oh, man.
It's great.
13-7.
It was 13-7.
It was enthralling.
Yeah.
Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donick and Chase, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. You can catch Darren every day here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, 10-2 on Darren Donick and Chase. Darren, great stuff, brother. Appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, always fun. Thanks. Have a good rest of the show.
When we come back, we'll have that conversation. Who are Predators fans rooting for more, Barry Trotz or Shea Weber? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Mark Howard, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And Mark, halfway home in the Stanley Cup semifinals, both series tied at 2 games apiece between the New York Islanders and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Game 5 coming up later tonight. And then Vegas and Montreal. Vegas gets it done last night. In overtime, they win 2-1 to tie that series up at 2 as well. Obviously, with the Islanders, former Predators coach Barry Trotz leading the way there. He's been very successful. Wins the cup with Washington. Has quickly turned around this New York Islanders team. And then Montreal, bit of an unexpected run through the playoffs. Shea Weber and company, former Predators captain, 2 wins away from the Stanley Cup final at this point. Who do you think Predators fans are rooting for more? Is it Barry Trotz? Is it Shea Weber? I think it's an interesting question.
I know how I feel. There's really not a whole lot of doubt. I'm rooting for Barry Trotz.
There you go.
Webs, listen, I wish him well. But I have to admit that after the Subban trade, I wanted the Preds to win that trade. I got a little too competitive, maybe, for my. But now I'm okay with seeing him have a good postseason. I think it's interesting that, you know, Ryan Suter thought when he left here that he would go on to greater glory with Minnesota. Well, I think they've won, what, one series? They beat Colorado 1 year,
yeah.
And that's been it. And I think it's ironic that you know, the bloom is pretty much off that rose, and, you know, his contract has now become an albatross.
Parise, too. Yeah.
Parise, absolutely, is a guy that they probably, you know, although he had a pretty good postseason. But whatever the case, I'm rooting for Trotzy. I think Barry's a Hall of Fame coach now. I don't think there's any doubt about that. He's won a cup. He's won multiple Jack Adams Awards. You know, he's been successful with 3 different franchises. I still don't know why Washington didn't bring him back. That was the dumbest thing. Ted Leonsis was chasing titles with the Wizards and the Capitals. He got one with the Capitals, and you would have thought that Barry was asking for Fort Knox, and he wasn't. And plus, Todd Reardon was stabbing him in the back.
Yep.
Was pretty much, you know, taking measurements in his office. I mean, you know, Barry, like, pretty much said to him, that was the guy, by the way, who succeeded Barry and was fired last year.
Yes.
For Peter Laviolette, ironically.
And didn't Trotz and the Islanders beat the Capitals, and then that got reared and fired?
Yeah. It was as good as it gets. And, you know, Barry saying, listen, you might be coach one day, but right now, you know, I'm the head coach. And listen, it didn't, you know, end beautifully, you know, with Laviolette, although that was sort of swept under the rug. But Trotzy is Barry Trotz is such an amazing guy. You know, in the same way I talk about Tim Corbin, you know, Barry's way with people is just something that's amazing.
Yeah.
And he relates to everybody. You know, I always thought with Laviolette, you know, Laviolette could turn on the charm. If you were in his inner circle, you loved him. If you weren't, You didn't really like him that much. But Barry was nice to everybody. And there were a couple of times that I did stuff that ticked him off. And he said, listen, you're a part of the family, but right now you're grounded. And you know, I offended Shea Weber by asking him about his contract. He was, like, really sensitive about it, which was kind of ridiculous. But, listen, it sort of is what it is. But I like Shea. And, you know, you guys know. You've been around Shea. You talk to him about everything but Shea, he's great.
Yep.
But when you got to talk about Shea, sorry. But it's been kind of interesting watching him as the Montreal captain. And, you know, I think he's really, you know, he's excited to play for an Original Six franchise at this stage of his career. And I wish him well. I mean, he's you know, he's really a good guy. And, but Barry, listen, I knew Barry from before the Preds got on the ice. I was out there at the Special Olympics with him and a lot of, you know, heard him tell the stories even before. You know, he talked about meeting Scotty Bowman and how cool that was. Like he said, Scotty Bowman knew my name. Well, Scotty Bowman knows his name now.
He knows his name now for sure.
Not a problem. And yeah, and the thing I like about Barry is he teaches you, you know, his success should teach everybody a lot about life. Because Barry walks in as a guy that a lot of GMs wondered if he could command a room.
Yeah.
And that was one of the questions about John Hines, because he's not tall. You know, he's not this, doesn't have this big booming voice. But believe me, Barry Trotz can be as assertive as he has to be, as tough as he has to be. And most of the players who have played for him, you know, really like playing for him. But beyond that, just a terrific human being. And yeah, hell yeah, I root for him.
Yeah, no, and can you imagine what sort of hockey we could be in store for if it's Montreal and New York in the final? A lot of defensive shutdown play in the neutral zone.
Well, yeah, listen, the Islanders have some offense.
They do, and Barzal, he's unbelievable.
Oh, you know, Barzal, you know, he's got Eberle. I mean, he's got a lot of guys who can score. And that's, you know, the amazing thing about Trotsky, too, his success with the Islanders is that John Tavares blows down, you know, right before Trotsky gets hired. So welcome to the Islanders, Barry. Oh, by the way, your superstar is gone.
Yeah.
And still, you know, Barzal has sort of, you know, emerged. But, you know, he's got guys like Josh Bailey. Mm-hmm. He's got Lee. He's got a lot of good players.
But even Anders Lee, he was out for the year, yeah, midway right. through the year. Yeah. He hasn't played in the playoffs.
Anders Lee sounds like he should be playing in a band, by the way.
Yes, but, yes, he does.
But anyway, they play Barry's, you know, they play Barry's structured style. And, yeah, you guys are right. I mean, it's a you know, defensive, you know, defense first. Defense creates offense.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on Barry Trotz and Shea Weber. Got a lot of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll also get into a little expansion draft talk with the Predators as well. How would Mark approach the expansion draft if he were David Poile? We'll get into that coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game and T-Mobile have partnered up to give you a chance to experience a Nashville SC game this season. Tune in later today to Darren, Donick, and Chase for the keyword to text in to win. Good luck from 102.5 The Game, T-Mobile, and Nashville SC. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Mark Howard, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Caleb on the text line says, I'm going for Barry. After what Washington did to him, he should win it just to rub it in Washington's face. I think Washington probably at this point, I would hope they regret that fully at this point.
Yeah, I think they probably years.
But this would be even more so because, like, he doesn't have someone like Ovechkin.
Yep. Oh, I know.
Like, he's going, and the Islanders are within their division, so this would be the ultimate middle finger to the Caps.
Yeah, it absolutely would. He's almost there. Greg on the text line, rooting for Weber. Trotz already has his cup win. So I figured there'd be a couple people that would take that side of Shea Weber, rooting for him because Barry Trotz has already won a cup.
I think there would be a lot of people that might feel that way.
Yeah.
I also think there are some people that just don't want to see a team north of the border win the cup.
There is that too. A lot of hate on the Montreal Canadiens. By the way, have you seen the officiating in this series?
Brutal.
It's been awful.
Brutal.
Last night, I mean, people were almost literally getting away with murder.
Well, in game three, did you see Petrie's like.
Oh, yeah. Petrie's eyes and then Corey Perry. But I got it. I know, you know, Predators fans are going to be just real broke up about Corey Perry taking a stick to the face. But, I mean, he about got his nose taken off.
Was Ryan Ellis out there?
I didn't see him lurking around out there.
Kind of thing. Part of his nose did fall off.
I know.
The look on his nose last night, it was like out of a war movie.
Oh, yeah. It was rough. But nothing called on that play. They didn't call anything through the first half of the game last night. And then all of a sudden after Weber and Nosek went after it, this little bitty hook and call, they started calling everything. I was like, what's going on here? You can't have it both ways. Either just call the game or don't. But don't start switching it up through the middle of the game. The officiating has been atrocious. I mean, the Canadian media was all – Ray Ferraro was all over it last night. Gord Miller was all over the officiating last night. It's been – atrocious so far in this Vegas-Montreal series.
Pierre LeBrun was all over it. Now, of course, Canadiens fans probably think the NHL has some sort of vendetta against them.
Because that's who they would have.
Exactly.
Yes. The team that's won 26 cups.
Well, let me just tell Montreal fans, NBC doesn't care.
No.
Because they're, you know, they lose the NHL after this year.
Yes.
They really don't care.
They don't. That is for sure. So, Mark, speaking of the NHL, the expansion draft is looming for David Poile and the Nashville Predators. Interesting decisions to make coming up. You can go 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, 1 goalie, or you can go the 8 skater route. And we saw the Islanders last time around. They protected 5 defensemen. That could be an option for the Predators as well. As you look at the expansion draft for David Poile and the decisions that he has to make, how do you go about handling the expansion draft? And who do you think could be exposed that maybe could be a surprise? We've had some people throw out Victor Arvidsson maybe being exposed. Some people have said maybe you leave Ryan Ellis exposed. I don't agree with that, but we've heard some people throw that out there. How do you think the Predators handle the expansion draft?
I think they're going to protect 5D. I think Alexander Carrier's emergence might have changed things. And I always say, remember John Blum.
Yeah.
You know, a good postseason does not, you know, make a career. But they've liked Carrier for a long time. I think Arvey absolutely will be exposed, as will Johansson and Duchesne. First of all, I don't think the two, Duchesne or Johansson, will get taken. I think Arvey might. That wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, I think Tolvanen is a candidate. And you've heard others. But I think that's where the Preds have to go. I think they've got a chance to have a really good and deep D-core, and you don't give that up because good defensemen, as we know, don't grow on trees, right behind, good centers. But, that puts the Predators in a good position anyway. Because if they have that kind of deep decor, that gives you tradable assets. So if you want to get a good forward, you hold on to those guys and then maybe make a deal down the line. You've got Ferentz. He's not included in this, but I'm just saying in terms of they've got Fabro, they've got Ferentz. I mean, they've got a lot of good young defensemen, even for their third pairing. To think about. And, we're not totally sure if they're going to re-sign Ekholm. And if they don't re-sign Forsberg, they're going to have to trade for a forward. So I would not be surprised to see Arvey exposed. I think they view him, as a guy, who, was good for a while, but you know, is sort of a diminished player.
Well, and I think you're right about that. I think there's absolutely a good chance he could be exposed. The Ryan Ellis stuff, like, I get it. There are some Predators fans who are not impressed with Ryan Ellis. I think his contract is not going to end well, and it's not going to look good in the latter half of those years. But you can't just leave him exposed. Like, you can't lose Ryan Ellis for nothing.
No,
to
you
your
can't.
Point, if you end up wanting to make a move, yeah. you've got to protect him, and then you could trade him after that if you so choose
exactly.
to do so. But you can't just let him walk for nothing.
Ryan Ellis could fetch a pretty decent package. So I don't see that happening. They could lose Trennan too, a guy that I really like too. I like his physicality. You know, he might be a third or a fourth line player, but I think he has the potential to score 15 goals.
Yeah.
And I actually think that might be the guy that Seattle goes after. Maybe Arvey. I'd rather have him take Arvey than Trennan.
Well, and I think to that point, I'm looking at the forward group, and I agree. I think five defensemen is the way they're probably going to go. I'm looking at the forward group. You're obviously going to protect Forsberg. I think you're going to protect Cunning at this point too, based on what you gave up to get him and the way that he closed out the season.
Yeah,
Granlund is a free agent, so you don't have to worry about protecting him. Much past that, I mean, it's Yarncroke and Sissons that you've got to really kind of figure out what to do there. There's not a whole lot of candidates at the forward. Like, to me, there's no chance they're doing seven forwards. Like, there's not seven forwards on this team that I think are worth protecting at that point.
No, their most valuable assets are on defense, primarily, once you get past three or four.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just look at the decision coming up for David Poile, and a lot of it's going to revolve around Duchesne and Johansson. What do you have there? Is there any way you could move on from one of them? I agree. I don't think Seattle's just going to straight up take one of them for you. Now, could you trade something in addition to them to get Seattle to bite the bullet? Yes, you could probably.
But what's
it worth? Like, what are you worth giving up, or what are you willing to give up in order to get Seattle to take one of those two contracts off your books?
Yeah, I get that. But we're also not talking about Kyle Turris. We're talking about two guys that have a chance to be productive. There are a lot of people around the league, a lot of analytics people, that feel like Matt Duchesne could bounce back in a big way next season. That his shooting percentage, which was under 4%, will be a lot better, and that'll translate into more goals. And that could, you know, change Preds fans' opinions of him really fast and organizationally. As far as Johansson is concerned, he sort of is what he is, but I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I thought he had a really good postseason.
He did.
Loved his physicality. And he seems to be buying into John Hines and his staff. So, I don't know.
Well, I think Johansson at this point, you just kind of know what he is. I think he's always going to leave you wanting more in the regular season.
He's not going to score 60.
He's not going to probably hit the 20-goal mark. At this point, I mean, he's had some great regular seasons here, too. I mean, a couple years ago, he put up 50 assists. So it's not like he can't do it in the regular season. But I think we've seen enough at this point to recognize that there is a clear difference between Ryan Johansson in the regular season and Ryan Johansson in the playoffs.
So now it's playoff Ryan Johansson.
Now it's playoff Ryan Johansson. Maybe that's the nickname that gets passed on. We've removed it from Colin Wilson and is now to Ryan Johansson. But you know that. You know, David Beauclair talked about last week, that's kind of a good thing to a certain degree, because at least you know what you're going to get out of him. I mean, in the playoffs, every year, with the exception of the Dallas series a couple years ago, when no forward outside of Rocco Grimaldi was all that good, most part, Ryan Johansson's been pretty good in the playoffs for this team. And as disappointing at times as that is in the regular season, and with the production not being where it needs to be from how much he's been paid, you do know in the playoffs, when it comes around, he'll be there, and he's going to play pretty well for you.
I could see David Poile making a trade that might knock our socks off.
I could, too.
I sort of see that a little bit. I just, John Hines did a phenomenal – I can't even begin to tell you how good a job John Hines did, to be honest with you. You know, he got the most out of a lot of journeyman guys.
Yep.
This was not a prolific scoring team. Ellie Tolvanen, we think, is going to be a really productive player who hasn't yet learned the defensive end of the ice. We're not sure what Tomasino is going to be next year. We think we're going to see him. But the other aspect to this is, David's got to look at this team with clear eyes. And he's got to understand that, some of the guys that played well or were productive will probably not do it, this coming season. So it'll be interesting to me to see what he does. The Grantland thing fascinates me to no end. He went from one of the worst trade acquisitions to one of the best free agent signings.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
It's been incredible to watch his role and how he's kind of responded since the coaching change took place with John Hines. We'll continue this discussion when we come back. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Right now, though, got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. And if you've been watching the NBA playoffs from the sidelines, now is the perfect time to get in on the action with FanDuel Sportsbook, because during the conference finals, new users get 30-1 odds on any team to win their next game. That means you can win $150 on a $5 bet, and there are even more ways to win on FanDuel throughout the playoffs. The conference finals are set. Milwaukee taking on Atlanta in the East, and in the West, you've got Phoenix taking on the LA Clippers. When you win, you get your money. It's a layup. You get paid in as little as 24 hours. The app is easy to use, so just sign up with promo code ROB to bet the NBA Conference Finals with 30-1 odds. Once again, that promo code is ROB to unlock 30-1 odds on any playoff team to win their next game exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager in designated offer market. A $10 first deposit required. $150 max bonus. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day here on this Monday morning. Mark Howard in today for Joe Rex Road. Joe will be back tomorrow, coming back from vacation from Michigan. Right now, talking Predators and the expansion draft. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And Mark, one of the interesting and I think difficult things to try to figure out, especially in this league when things can change pretty quickly, is how exactly do you determine how close you are to being a true contender for the Stanley Cup? You've got some young pieces that have come in that you feel good about, some veteran guys, some of which played better down the stretch, some of which did not, and David Poile's got to kind of sort that out as they move forward here in the offseason. But trying to determine exactly how close you are and then determine what moves you have to make to take that next step to getting back into Stanley Cup contention, as you said, it requires clear eyes if you're David Poile this offseason. So as you watch the Predators come down the stretch, as you evaluate what this roster looks like right now heading into the expansion draft, how close do you think the Predators are to being a true contender for the Stanley Cup? How much work does this roster still need to have in order to get to that place if you're David Poile and the Predators?
I'm not even sure they're a playoff contender, to be honest with you. If they go back to the regular schedule, it's going to be a lot harder for them to make the playoffs. Listen, you've got to be real with what got them to the playoffs, and that was, beating up on the lower rung teams. But, the Preds did improve. There's no question about it. And that was evidenced by their play at the end of the season. But they were also the beneficiaries of favorable scheduling. I mean, let's.
What a goaltender that's playing out of his mind, too.
Yeah, and UC Soros, absolutely, you're absolutely right. And that's where David has to look now. Okay, if Ellie Tolvanen is a top six forward, your coaching staff didn't even want to dress him, for most of the playoffs.
Yep.
Now, we'll all acknowledge improvement and everything else, but I think, you've got to decide, first of all, you got to get younger, and you've got to make a sacrifice, and you might have to take one step backward to take two steps forward. And I just think You know, we're going to see Tomasino next year. We're going to see some of the younger players. Listen, I don't think any of us thought that Carrier would end up as being a first-pairing defenseman.
Nope.
He'd been in the system, you know, for so long that you just figured he was a, you know, he was a third-pairing D guy, and there's nothing wrong with that. So they've got that. I just think that that David's got an opportunity here. He's got a nice core of defensemen. He might have some surplus that he can trade, and let's see what he's going to do. And he's finally got a team that's bought in to what the coaching staff wants, which I think was the most important thing that was accomplished. Regardless of where they went in the playoffs, regardless of, you know, one loss record, they either were going to buy into what Hines and his staff, you know, wanted, or they weren't, and they had to figure that out. So I think that part of it seems pretty evident. So, you know, let's see what happens. And David's got the ability to go out there and make some trades. He's a very resourceful guy. But I still think he's gonna continue to need to reshape the roster and figure out the, you know, to build this team to its identity. They found an identity last year.
Yep.
Now let's build towards it.
How concerned are you about Dante Fabro? He's 22 years old, did not play in that series against Carolina, was healthy enough to play, did not do it. It's a, you know, we've seen this with defensemen before. It's a very difficult position to come in and play at this level, especially at a top four level like he did to begin this year. He's 22. He's a first-round pick. They had great things to say about him at the end of the regular season, and we're impressed by the way he handled the situation. But the fact of the matter remains, you know, he started the season off as a top four guy and couldn't find his way into the lineup, into the playoffs. What's your concern level if you're a Predators fan with Dante Fabro at this point?
Well, in my opinion, and based on the people that I talked to, I never thought he was a top four guy. You know, you can sit there and put that label on him. I thought, you know, during the bubble year, he should have been playing in Milwaukee. You know, that first part of the season.
Yeah.
And he wasn't. And that might have hurt his progress. I don't know. But I also know this. Ryan Suter sat a lot of nights early in his career, and he turned out to be a pretty good defenseman.
He did.
As have others. So I wouldn't give up on Fabro quite yet. But, you know, let's see what happens next year because they don't have to force him, you know, into the first or second pairing if they don't have a lot of injuries. So there's plenty of depth there where maybe it's best for Fabro to play in the third D pairing and just, you know, crawl before you walk.
So we're a couple of weeks removed now from the end of season press conferences and Pecorine addressing the media, not quite sure of his future. Some point was going to sit down with David Poile. I would assume that's happening relatively soon if that's not happened already. Your gut feeling on Pekka, is he back next year as the backup goalie? Is he elsewhere in the league? Does he retire? Does he go back to Finland? What do you think happens with Pekka Rinne?
Well, if they want to go, you know, for budgetary purposes, they can get a much cheaper backup goaltender. But I like Pekka in the room. You know, Pekka's not just a great goaltender. He's a great teammate.
Yep.
And I think he has value. And, you know, the fan base, you know, still loves him. Him getting the King Clancy Award, I thought was extraordinary. You know, here's a guy who does so much in the community, has done so much for this franchise, and never pumps up his own tires. Pekka is one, you know, you've been down there, and so is Ryan. He's just one of the best people you're ever going to meet in this business. So I think that should be a priority. I think he's one of the few guys who has real value even when he's not playing.
I agree.
And he's going to be a good practice goaltender. Yeah. He's going to do a lot of things. He's going to help Saros, and I just see nothing but pluses with him on this team.
He left every option on the table, which you would expect somebody in his position to do. Do you realistically think there's any chance he goes and plays for another NHL team?
Yeah, I think anything's possible. I don't think that he has as much value to other teams in the NHL, really, as he does the Predators. You know, I don't know. Maybe Seattle would be interested in him. You could do a lot worse.
You could
as a backup guy who might play 25 games. So I'm sure his agent will. You know, I'm sure as we speak is making a lot of calls around the league to see, you know, what kind of value his guy has.
That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Show. Mark, we appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. It was fun, man.
Always enjoy it, Rob.
Absolutely. Joe will be back tomorrow. He is on his way back from Michigan today. We'll be back tomorrow reacting to a big game from Vanderbilt tonight, taking on NC State. Jack Leiter will be on the mound. Make sure you stay tuned for Darren Donick and Chase today. They'll have Darryl Waltrip coming up at 1 o'clock today on Darren Donick and Chase. Also, Chase McCabe. Fresh off some public dressing duties at Nashville, Nashville Super Speedway with the NASCAR race coming in this weekend. Great job by Chase McCabe on that front. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donick and Chase is coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.